Okay, Colossians chapter 3, beginning with verses 1. We're going to go down through verse 4. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Some very interesting things. We kind of got through the heavy stuff. Now we're getting into the real practical stuff here in the book of Colossians. Verse 1 says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." Many of us can go back in our minds to fond memories that we have had over our years, and we often refer to them and, you know, dreaming of the good old days. You know, the good old days really aren't as good as we thought they were, but they seem good in our minds. We can think back of happy times like that. And in our text this evening, instead of talking about the good old days, Paul is talking about how that we need to focus our thoughts on the future days, the things of the future. He says, set your affection on things above, on the things that are yet in the future. And so, I've entitled the message tonight, Living Above While Still Below. Living Above While Still Below. God wants us to be living above, or with our heavenly thoughts, while we still live here on this earth. We're going to look at three things that we're going to need in order to do this. Number one, the first thing we need to do if we're going to live above while still below is we need to review our conversion. He starts out there, "If ye then be risen with Christ." If ye then be risen with Christ. So the first thing we need to do is make sure that we know the Lord is our Savior. Paul begins this section with those words to remind us that he's talking to Christians. He's talking to Christians now. He's not talking to unbelievers. And those who have truly placed their faith in Christ for salvation are risen with Christ. And we need to ask ourselves, does this describe me? Does this describe me? Does it really describe you and me if we have truly been risen with Christ? Now, Christ died and rose again to give us life. All right, it's important we see that. And we're going to go over a few verses here. These are verses that you ought to have either memorized or have in your mind about Christ and who he is. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8. Let's just flip over to these verses. There's several of them here, but you just get your practice here. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8. Let's flip over to that. Romans chapter 5 and look at verse number 8. Romans 5, verse number 8. Romans 5, verse number 8. "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us." All right, so we see here that he died for us. That's important because we're talking about being risen with Christ, so he died before he rose. So we're laying a foundation here. Then over to Hebrews. Hebrews toward the end of your Bible, Hebrews chapter 2, and look at verse number 14. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 14. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. It says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." All right, so Christ took on body of flesh that he might die for us, and through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. So Christ delivered us by dying in our place. Another verse, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18. 1 Peter chapter 3. All right, let's keep going toward the back. 1 Peter chapter 3, look at verse number 18. 1 Peter 3, 18. "For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." 1 Peter 3, 18. Again, we see here that Christ suffered for us. He was the just one, we're the unjust. He did it to bring us to God, and he was put to death in the flesh, but he was quickened or made alive by the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 9. All right, look with me there. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 9. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9. "For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, that's not the one I was thinking. Oh, verse number 10, it'll help us out. All right, so keep going. "Who died for us, that whether We wake or sleep, we shall live together with Him. All right, so He died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we shall live together with Him. So each of these verses are talking about the death and the resurrection of Christ, and it's for us and it's for our benefit. And He's talking about how Christ died and rose again to give us life. Now, one of the concepts that's a little hard for our minds to wrap around is the fact that when Christ died for us, we died with Him. We died with Him and when He died for us. And He raised us then from the dead. All right? And so here in our text, He says, if ye then be risen with Christ. The moment a person repents and trusts Christ for salvation, he dies to sin and receives new life in Christ. God makes him a new person. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All right, so Christ died for us, gave us new life in Christ. And water baptism pictures the relationship we have with Christ and how we died and rose again. Take a look at this verse, Romans chapter 6. I want you to see this, and so turn there in your Bibles. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and look at verse number 4. Romans chapter 6 and look at verse number 4. These verses are talking about baptism and how baptism pictures what took place at salvation. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. When we were saved, we died with Christ, were buried with Him, rose again with Him, and He gave us newness of life. And you know, that's something we can't see happen, but it's something that happens the moment a person truly trusts Christ as their Savior. That we die with Christ and are made new and given life with Christ. Now, Paul talks about this in his own testimony in Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20, where he said, I am crucified with Christ. I know, what did he say? He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So he said, I was crucified with Christ. And every one of us who truly know the Lord as our Savior ought to be able to say, I was crucified with Christ. There was a day when I trusted Christ, and on that day I died to sin, I died to self, and I became a new person in Christ. I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And that's what Paul's talking about here in our text. He's talking about how Christ lives in us, because we have been raised together with Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 19 and 20 goes on to describe that of the relationship with the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Those verses say, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So we were bought with a price. We died with Christ. He purchased us. We're now His. We belong to Him. And we have been given new life in Christ. All right? And so the Spirit of God lives in us. Now, if you have truly risen with Christ, you should have a new focus. And that's what Paul is building on. Verse number 1 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Alright, so here he tells us we need to have a new focus. We need to have a new focus. So if we have been risen with Christ, we have been made new in Christ, we've been raised from the dead with Christ, we have been given new life, and now he says that we have to have a new focus. We need to have a focus on eternity. And here the Holy Spirit gives us two commands for us to do this. Number one, he says, seek those things which are above. Seek those things which are above. Now, in the original language, the word order is one of the neat things about Greek is the word order isn't a grammatical order, it is usually a emphasis order. So the first word in the sentence is the most important word in the sentence, and they work their way through, and the grammar order you figure out by the kind of word it is. You can, by the endings of it, you can tell whether it's the noun or the verb or the adjective or the adverb, and you can kind of put it all together in your own mind. So translating is a little bit tricky, but what I tell you this for is this. The way that it is laid out originally says the things above we must seek. All right, here we've translated seek ye first, or seek the things above, but it literally says the things above seek. The things above seek. So it's emphasizing the things above. It's emphasizing the important thing he's emphasizing here is they're talking about heaven, the things above. That's what we need to focus our thoughts on. Heaven, heaven, heaven. So he's talking about the things of eternity here. Now, he says we're to seek those things that are above. Seek them. Now, the word seek there literally means to seek in order to find, to seek after, to seek for, to aim, to strive after, to crave. All right, if we're seeking something, how do we do that? You know, if you're looking for something, you ever done that? You can't find it. You look all over the place. I do that all the time. The more my memory dies, the more I keep looking. You're looking for something. Say, where did that go? I can't find it. Where can I find it? You're looking, 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 look, try to find it. You're seeking all over. You're searching all the drawers. You search everywhere. You think about it. You pray about it. Think, where did that go? Where did I put that? I can't remember. I can't remember. And you're looking, and you're looking, and you look. That's what this word is talking about. Seeking to be able to find. And he says, we're to seek those things which are above. Seek those things. The things above we're to seek. God wants us to have our passion of life to be about seeking God's will in heaven. What does God want me to do? What does God want for my life? What is God's will for my day today? What would God do if He was here to show me exactly what I should do? Seek those things which are above. Seek it. Remember, that's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, where He said, He was talking in this whole section of Matthew 6. He was talking about all the needs. You know, caring for what you eat and what you drink and where you're going to put on. And, you know, I got all these needs of life. And what did Jesus say about the needs of life? He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you. But what did he say? He said, seek first God's kingdom. So he says, seek what God wants first, and if you put God first, God will help you with all these other issues in life. And so that's why sometimes, remember the book of Malachi? Malachi was the book, a perfect example of what Jesus was talking about. They were seeking after themselves. They weren't taking care of the things of God. They were going through the motions, sacrificing the animals that were not very healthy and the things that they didn't want, they were given to God. And God says, hang on now, seek first the kingdom of God and all the things you need, I'll take care of those, but put me first. And that's the same thing that Elijah did. Remember when he went to the widow of Zarephath? He said, would you make me a cake? I'm hungry. And she said, I don't have anything but just a little pile of meal that I'm going to make for my son and I with these two sticks, and we're going to eat it and die. He says, make me first a cake and then go back and make yourself one. And she did, and it provided and provided and provided, and God did a miracle for them for many, many days afterwards. But it was putting God first. And what God wants in our life, He says, I want you to put me first in your life. And I'll take care of those other things that you're worried about in life. I'll take care of the needs of the life. Now, sometimes we dig our own holes and we got problems that we've created ourselves, and then we can't expect God to just instantly bail us out. I'm not talking about that, but God says, I will provide for your needs in life if you put me first. And so we need to put God first. Jesus' last words. What were Jesus' last words before He went to heaven with His disciples? One phrase that He had summed up in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, says, and He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. His last command is to be our first duty. That's what He told us to do. He could have told the disciples anything. You think about that. Just before He's gone, He's going over and rehearsing the things that He's telling His disciples. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be gone. You're not going to see me anymore. Here's the last thing I want you to remember. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I mean, He could have said, be good. He could have said, keep the commandments. He could have said, love your mother. Yeah, He could have told them all kinds of things. But He didn't. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So He's saying the first things are are the things that God has as priorities. So in our lives today, we need to ask ourselves, what are the priorities that God wants me to do? What are the things that God would say are really important in my life today? If I was to do something tomorrow, what would be the most important things that I could do if it was the last day I was on earth? Well, you need to think about, what does God want us to do? It's to know what God wants for our life. And so every day we need to seek those things which are above. Say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What is the most important thing with you? Even in the Lord's Prayer, it's not really the Lord's Prayer, it's a sample prayer, but the one called the Lord's Prayer, it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You know, there's a desire there to do what God wants, and that ought to be our desire. God, what do you want me to do today? And so, we're to seek those things which are above. And then, he goes on in verse 2, notice verse 2, he says, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. All right, now once again, he does the same thing. The word order puts the emphasis on the things above. He says, the things above set your affection on. Okay, the things above set your affection on. Now, there's a little command to set your affection on. What's that mean? All right, we think of affection as kind of love, but it literally means to direct your mind to something, to seek for it, to strive for it, to be devoted to it. It's very similar to the first command. So why is he repeated? Here's why. In the first command, in verse number 1, he's emphasizing the outer activities. Our outer activities, the things that we do. The second command, he's talking about our inner activities, the things that we think, what goes on in our heart. So here he's saying, seek those things which are above in our activities. Seek to do God's will. Seek to serve Him. Seek to honor Him. Seek to be a witness for Christ. Seek to be a testimony for the Lord. Seek to pass out tracts. Seek to be a witness for them. But seek the things that are of the Lord. But then, in the second one, he says, set your affection on things above. That is more of our focus on God. Focus on Him. You know, how much have you focused on God in heaven this week? Have you thought about it? Have you given much focus on that? What about God? How does God fit into my life? How much have we worshipped Him? I think it was a week ago I mentioned Psalm 100. Those verses are still going over in my mind. Psalm 100 is a great psalm. It's a good psalm that you could learn as a family. Only 5 little verses, not hard to memorize, full of worship information. Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God, and that He, know ye that the Lord is God, He hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, His truth endureth to all generations. That is a worship psalm. About singing, praying, thanking, worshiping, honoring, glorifying God. And you know, we really need to have a focus on the things above. We get so busy. Life is so caught up with things we've got to do, and this we've got to do, and this we've got to do, and appointments, and all the stuff that is in our busy world. God says, I want you to just set your affection on things above. Seek those things which are above, but then set your affection on it. Not just get busy about serving me, but also love me. Spend time with me. Set your affection on me. And devote your heart to me. So the inner part of us needs to spend time with God. So these two commands, to seek to please God and to seek to know God, are to be our primary goals if we've been raised to new life in Christ. So, if we know Him as our Savior, our focus is no longer on this earth. It's no longer, how can I make more money? How can I get rich? How can I build a nice, you know, build a great place for myself? And how can I get this? And how can I get that? That's not it. Because we're going to leave that all behind. One of these days, if Jesus Christ comes back tonight, just like that, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye at the last trump, we'll leave everything behind that we have. Everything. We will go with nothing. And so all that we've worked for, if that's been our whole life, it'll all be left behind. But if we've been living for eternity, we'll have those things that we've laid up. Remember Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, nor thieves do not break through nor steal? Lay up for yourself treasures there. And if you do, you'll have treasures waiting for you in heaven. But if you don't, everything you have will be left behind. So God says, don't do that. So this is emphasis here that Paul's telling the Colossian people. He says, if you've been risen with Christ, then seek those things which are above. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, not on the things of this earth. This earth does not have anything for us. Then thirdly, he tells us that we need to look for Christ's return. Verse 3, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now again, he's talking about focusing on eternity and on heaven. He said, seek those things which are above. He said, put your heart's focus on the things that are above. And now he says, our life is hid with Christ in God. Again, he goes back and he's reminding us of some things that took place when we got saved. He says, when you were born with a sin nature and a selfish life. Every one of us were. A sin nature and a selfish life. Every child that is born into this world shares those same things. You don't have to teach that kid to be selfish. He'll be selfish all by himself real soon. All right? So we're born with sinful nature, selfishness. And your sin nature and selfishness were ruled by sin and the devil. The sin and the devil just helped you to just be more selfish and more self-centered. And life was all about serving self and pleasing you and doing what you enjoyed. That's before we got saved. That's what life was all about. What can I do to have fun, enjoy life, please me, honor me, lift me up, and have a great time in life? That's what life is all about to most of the people in our world. But he says when we got saved, that sinful, selfish lifestyle, first of all, must be repented of before we can truly put our faith in Christ. That's what we got saved from. See, when a person comes to the place where he sees that I am headed down a dead-end street, all I'm living for is this life, this world, the pleasures, and none of it's satisfying, and when I die, it's all going to be left behind. And when they come to see that and say, that is a foolish way to live, I need help, I need what God has offered me, and they repent of that and say, I changed my mind, that's not what I'm going to chase after anymore, I want Christ instead. And they turn to Christ and are saved, then their life is turned around. And they have then become a child of God. Now, when a person trusts Christ to save him, his selfish life that rules him, was ruled by sin, dies, and Christ gives him a new life. So the selfish life that we were living is now dead. It's powerless. Now, it doesn't mean we lose our old nature. I wish kind of that the Lord would have taken away the old nature and we all had new natures, no old nature anymore. That'd be nice. But we still have our old nature too. But the power of sin used to chain us. It used to boss us. It used to dominate us. It doesn't do that anymore. We can live in victory. We can have victory over sin. And that's why Paul writes in Romans 6:11, he says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The word reckon means to consider or to just understand that that's the facts. It's an accounting fact, a word. It means if the books balance, then it balances. That's just a fact. And he says you need to reckon it, or you need to accept the fact that God said that we died to sin and we are alive unto Christ. We are no longer chained to sin. We're no longer bound to sin. We're no longer enslaved to sin. We don't have to sin. We don't have to sin if we know Christ. We can have victory. And if saved, our new spiritual life is hid together with Christ in God. We can't see exactly what is the new life that we have. It's not something you can put your hands on and touch, but it's a new life we have, but it's in Christ. And it's we are together with Christ. And he says we have new life together with Christ. He gave us life. And when he did, that's why we belong to him. That verse in 1 Corinthians says that we no longer belong to ourselves, but we belong to him. He bought us and paid for us. He rescued us from hell. He equipped us to serve him instead of serving ourselves. Ephesians 2:10, For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. He created us to serve him, and he equipped us to serve him. He empowers us and changes us that we might serve him. Galatians 5, 16 and 17. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so ye cannot do the things ye would. Then he goes on in verses 24 and 25, where he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And then he ends up the chapter by saying, if you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Right? So he's saying here that he has given us the power to do it. He's changed our lives. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18, the verses on the spiritual armor. He begins in verse number 10, telling us that we need to let Christ take control. And so if we let Christ take control of our lives, he's there to empower us and to equip us and to help us and to strengthen us. And he's given us a new identity. We are now a child of the King. We're a child of the Lord. Now life is no longer about serving self. We died to that. When we got saved, we said, I am sick of that life. That's not what I want. I don't want to live for me anymore. I want to live for Christ. He died for me, and I want him to change my life. So we died to that, and now he says we are to live for Christ. And so our focus needs to be no longer on serving self, but on serving Christ. It's all about living for Jesus. That's why when Paul says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above and set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. Because he says, it's not about you anymore. It's not about me anymore. It's about Christ. And we need to have our focus on him. And he ends up here in verse 4, and he says, when Christ, who is our life, he's the one that bought us, he's the one that paid for us, he's the one that gave us life, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now, he's not here right now. Well, he is, but he's not physically here. He's in heaven. He's all around us because he's also a spirit. But when he's coming back. The Bible says he's coming back, and when he does, that we will be caught up together with them in the clouds. In 1 Thessalonians 4, 14 to 16, but especially verse 16 and 17, it says, For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So he says that Jesus Christ is coming back. 1 Corinthians 15 says that it'll happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This corruptible will put on incorruption, and this mortal will put on immortality. There's going to be a change. We're going to get rid of this mortal body and have an immortal body. We'll live with Christ forever. And so there's going to be a time when we are with Christ. And it says there in the end of 1 Thessalonians 4, 17, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Will ever be with the Lord. And that's what he's mentioning here. He says that then shall we appear with him in glory. We're going to be there in glory with him. In glory of the glories of heaven. We're going to be there with him when he returns. He's going to take us to be with him in heaven. He's going to give us a new one. We're going to be there forever with him. And that is a wonderful thought. But why is he emphasizing this? He's emphasizing it because he said, listen, if ye then be risen as Christ, seek the things that are above. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, because one of these days we're going to be living with him in glory. Don't focus on this. This isn't our home. You know, we sing that song, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. You know, that's the truth of the matter. We don't live here. This is just a place we're staying for a little while. Our home is in heaven. And we need to be living as if we're headed for home, instead of living as if we're going to stay here forever. And so that's the emphasis of these verses. And he's going to be building on that when we move on to verse number 5 and onward. As he goes through the chapter, he's telling us how to live in this life with a focus on eternity. The whole chapter talks about that. Later on, he talks about husbands and wives and children and families and servants and all of these things. He's saying this is how you're to live, with your mind and thoughts on heaven instead of just living for this life. And that needs to be our focus. We need to have our hearts in the right direction. And so, as we think on these things, we will live forever with God in glory. Why then, should we not seek to please God, to know God, and to live for eternity? That's what he wants. All right? He's saying, get to know God, live for him, learn about him, worship him, focus on him, and prepare for eternity. And think about every, you know, what a difference it would make in my life and in your life if every single day we woke up with the thought, today might be the day that I'm going to heaven. Today might be the day I'm going to heaven. That would, if we really lived that way every day, it would change our lives, wouldn't it? I believe it would. But we don't. I don't. I forget, you forget. But Paul's reminding us here, that's what we need to do. We need to think about the fact that one of these days we're going to be in heaven. One of these days we're going to be in heaven. We need to set our affection on things above. We need to seek those things that are above and prepare our thoughts and our hearts and our actions and our minds and our duties to be ready for going to heaven. So, with that thought in mind, let's just ask the Lord tonight to help us to seek the things that He wants us to seek and to make that our priority in life. And if your life has been all wrapped up around you and the things of this life, you're going to leave it all behind. You need to just ask God, change my focus. Help me to have a focus that would honor you and put God first in that area.